Hi, this is Matt Shaw, pastor at City Lift Church. If you're in the Fort Lauderdale area, we'd love for you to come visit us on a Sunday sometime or join us online, citylift.church. We hope today's message fills you with courage and helps you on your spiritual journey. We exist just to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Enjoy today's message.
Well, hey, I'm excited. Today, I'm going to teach a message on overcoming fear. And last week, right, it was why bad things happen to good people. This one is overcoming fear. And I've been sitting on this message for over 6 months. And I just couldn't find it the right time to put it in. So you guys came on a great day. You really did. You came on a great day. We need to hear this as believers, what I'm getting ready to say. And so I want to encourage you to open up your head, open up your heart. The Bible talks about being washed with the water of the word. And, you know, if you don't shower for 4 days, in this South Florida summer with this humidity, come on, how many know by the end of the week your coworkers are not going to like you very much, right? In the same way, our minds and our souls need to be washed with the word of God. Why? Because your mind, your soul, right? Like it doesn't really gravitate toward the positive and toward God. It tends to gravitate toward the negative. We seem to be wired to like zone into fear, the negative, the stress, the anxiety by default. Like if you leave your body alone, it doesn't grow cleaner. It grows smellier, right? So you have to shower to keep like hygiene, but we also need some soul hygiene. The Bible says this is the word of God. It is the washing of the water of the word of God, because your mind naturally grows stressed out, worried, overwhelmed, overcome with fear and negative. And so we need help with God's word. So listen, fear, right? Like it started out as it's kind of almost like an evolutionary response. Like our ancestors were like, yo, saber-toothed tiger, run away. That's the good kind of fear, the fear that'll save your life. That's the same kind of fear that keeps you from crossing three lanes on 595, right? You know that's not a good idea, okay? But what happens to us is like our imagination gets hijacked, right? And then we begin to live this life in constant fear of the negative happening. That's what the Bible addresses, okay? So that's what we're going to talk about today. All right, let's pray, and we're going to jump into today's message. Heavenly Father, we love you. God, it is good to be in your house with your people. God, it always inspires me how many people are here to get to know you. Lord, that's our heart, that people would meet, know, and follow you. Lord, today we need the washing of the water of the word. We don't want to come here, God, and just make it like a light thing. We want to come with hunger today to be transformed by this eternal word. Lord, would you help us get out of fear and get into faith? If you believe that with me, say amen. And amen. All right. So I'd love for you to get your phones out, take some notes. This is a good teaching to take some notes on. Like I said last week, blessed are the note takers. They will inherit eternal life. Come on. Like you're going to get an A plus in eternity for taking notes. Jesus is going to be like, I saw those notes and that, you know, all right. All right. Here we go. I want to help you because I think so much is happening right now. So much is happening right now. There's not a single mind and not a single soul affected by everything going on in the world, everything going on in communities. I mean, it's an interesting time. You no longer have to navigate 300 opinions. You have to navigate 30 million opinions. We're no longer exposed to just the problem in like our village, but like the whole world all the time. And so it's an interesting time to be alive. It's an interesting time to navigate as Christians. But we need messages like this because they give us our eternal perspective. They remind us that we're not alone. And the Bible says so much about, you know, what we're to think on, how we're to act, how we're to behave, how we're to pray, all these things. And the Bible talks a lot about fear. In fact, the Bible mentions fear 500 times in the Bible, over 500 times. And there's two types of fear. There's the fear of the Lord, which is this deep reverence and respect for the Lord. And I would argue in our generation, we've lost that a little bit. You know, there are some things God does say to do and not to do. And the fear of the Lord is, I will do that and not do that because you said it. That's the fear of the Lord. That's this deep awe, reverence, and respect. Because God said it, I will do it. But there's another kind of fear the Bible talks about. And this is what we're going to talk about today. Is just this living with this sense of dread that the bad is going to happen to me. right? I got anxiety. I got a lot of stress, got a lot of worry. I just live with this imagination hijack. The bad is right around the corner. It's going to happen to me. And the Bible does address this, okay? Number one, if we're taking notes this morning, this is so important that every believer understands this. God is not giving you fear. God is not feeding you a diet of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Fear comes from a fallen world. Fear comes from a fallen mind. It is imagination hijacked. Fear is faith in the wrong direction. Fear comes from the enemy of our soul, but fear does not come from God. And you need to know that, because as a Christian, as a Christ follower, if you don't know that fear doesn't come from God, you will accept fear way too often. And you'll wonder, is God trying to say something through my fear? God does not feed you a diet of fear. God is not feeding you stress. He's not feeding you anxiety. He's not feeding you worry. He's not feeding you fear. Okay? You ever been at a restaurant, had a bad experience? Right? And you're like, oh, I don't want to go back there. One time, my wife and I went to a restaurant and the plates were like literally kind of greasy. And I told my server, I was like, hey, this plate is greasy. I was like, there's kind of like this film on this plate. And he's like, oh yeah, sometimes the dishwasher breaks down and does that. And I was like, thank you. All right, that's all I needed to hear. You know, sometimes the dishwasher breaks down and apparently it's okay here. So, but isn't it amazing that we keep eating at the same restaurant of fear again and again and again? Like, we keep taking the same plate of worry again and again and again. You know, I love this one quote, if you don't like clowns, stop going to the circus. And it's amazing to me how we will just let fear and worry and anxiety talk to us again and again and again and again. And we accept it. We let it grow in the garden of our minds. And we'll sit on it. We'll chew on it. We'll whatever, you know, and we live in it and we eat it. God is not feeding you a diet of fear. God gives wisdom, but he doesn't give fear. So he gives wisdom, he gives commandments, he gives direction, but he does not feed you fear. Okay? Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So he's calling us to courage. Number two, God does not lead through fear. We're all following something. We're all following someone. I love this book by a mentor I had. One day you will believe someone and that day will change your life. That's actually pretty true. One day you're going to believe somebody and that day will actually change your life. It's important for you to know as a believer in Jesus that God does not lead you through fear. Romans 8 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship or daughtership. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. God leads you through his spirit. He does not lead you through fear. And this is important because when fear talks to you, you're like, well, I should listen. I should change my life. I should adjust this. I should adjust that, right? That's not how God leads our life. God leads by the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit gives you a direction, then yes, do it. If God gives you a command, yes, do it. If God gives you wisdom, yes, do it. But if you're just going around all day long adjusting all of your life because you're worried and overwhelmed with worry, let me help you get you free. God does not lead you through fear. He doesn't feed you fear, and he doesn't lead you through fear. In fact, quite the opposite. His spirit is trying to liberate you from your fears and your worries and your anxieties. Amen. Number three, God actually says not to fear. Actually says not to fear. Over 175 times it says, do not fear. Even more verses are like, don't be afraid, you know, no fear. So the Bible says it in different ways. Let me give you one of my favorites, Isaiah 41, do not fear anything, for I am with you. Do not be afraid. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will take hold of you with my righteous right hand, a hand of justice, power of victory, and salvation. I love this quote by Michelle Montaigne. I've said it several times in our church. My life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which never happened. It's amazing to me how we spend so much of our mental energy living in a world of all these dreadful things happening to us that in reality obviously never happen. Again, like I said at the beginning, our minds naturally grow negative. They grow stress-filled. They grow overwhelmed. They grow full of worry. But God addresses this and he says, listen, I don't want you to be afraid. And the reason I don't want you to be afraid is I am actually with you. I'm with you. Psalms 118:6 says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? I like that. I like that translation. Why does he have so much confidence? He knows that the Lord is with him. This is where we need help as young, growing believers. We need to grow in our acknowledgement, in our sense, in our revelation, God is with me. God is with me. When you realize that God is indwelling inside of you by the Holy Spirit, that he's with you, that he's got you with his right hand, and that you're going to be okay, that changes everything. Because the psalmist is so confident because he's got such a deep revelation, God is with me. Therefore, God has already taken care of the greatest need I have in my life. The greatest problem in our life is our sin. The greatest rescue God ever did was save you from your sin so you could be with him forever. If God took care of the greatest thing in your life, can he take care of problem number 85? And he can. And so the psalmist is like, God is with me. He's taking care of the greatest problem in my life. What can people even do to me? He's saying, if they take me out, the worst that happens is I go to heaven forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Right? They really can't do anything to me. You know, when I found Jesus at 17, I was struggling with thoughts of depression, thoughts of suicide. When God rescued me, all of those thoughts instantly just dropped. I mean, within days, you know, and now that I'm here, I'm like, God, you're the greatest thing in my life. You gave me the second greatest thing in my life, my wife, which led to the third greatest thing in my life, my kids, the fourth greatest thing in my life, you know, the ministry, you know, and there've been times where like, man, is this thing going to work or not? Is it going to fall apart or not? And there's been times we've hit walls, you know, and I'm like, well, I don't know what to do, but God is with me. And if he took care of the greatest problem, I think he's got this thing covered as well. If God has your eternity covered, don't you think he might have also been able to cover next month? Or next week? See, we're like, oh yeah, I trust God with my forever. That's easy. Because that's a very, very long time. If we can trust him with the very, very long, we could probably trust him with the very, very short. Because this compared to that is nothing. I don't know if I want to live to be 100 years old. Maybe 90, maybe not much past 90. If I get to 95, I'll be like, I should have had more cookies and cream ice cream. I can spend the next 40 years of my life worrying, or I can spend the next 4 years of my life resting, knowing God is with me. And nothing can happen to me that doesn't first go through him. And if the worst thing is me leaving the earth, well, that's just being with him forever, right? And then if the other worst thing is I can't pay my bills, well, then I just move back with my parents and bother them for a little bit more. Okay, like that's what I'm saying. Like so often we get so completely overwhelmed, we forget God is with me. I'm not alone. He has me with his righteous hand. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. What could actually happen to me? The revelation creates rest. Let me go on. So the Bible says, don't fear. Number four, though, let me go ahead here. So what do we do? If we're not supposed to fear, what do we do? Number four, God invites trust. God invites trust. I can spend the next 40 years of my life living in fear, or I could spend the next 40 years of my life trusting Jesus. Mm. You really do have a choice here. You can choose to allow the fear to grow, stay in the fear, turn the fear over and over again in your mind, or you can choose to trust Jesus. I love this. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Mark 11, Jesus simply says to his disciples, have faith in God. I think if Jesus were here today talking to his disciples, he would say, have faith in God. I think fear is faith in the wrong direction. Faith is a simple trust in God God is working in my life. God is with me. He's for me. He's helping me. He took care of the worst problem I had in my life. He can take care of the third worst problem, the 12th problem, the 21st problem. What can man do to me? I am going to start trusting God. Now, listen, you can leave this week and you can be in worry or you can trust Jesus. I can't decide that for you. You have to decide that for yourself. I will tell you, it will go better for your soul the sooner you start trusting Jesus. It just will. It just will. Number five, he replaces fear with love. This to me speaks of the brilliance of the Bible, the brilliance of God's instructions. If I tell you don't think of a pink elephant, what are you doing right now? Thinking of a pink elephant. If I say, don't you dare think of two pink elephants, now you're thinking of two pink elephants, right? Like now I can't get pink elephants out of my mind. I wasn't thinking about pink elephants. Now all I got is pink elephants in a circus. You know, it's like, why? Because we imagine, right? We imagine. And the moment I tell somebody, don't do something, they like want to start leaning in that way. So if all I said today is, don't fear your fear, what are you going to do tomorrow? Fear your fear. You're going to think about your fear. And so God comes along, he invites trust, but then he does something else in our souls. He replaces with love. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears has not been perfect or developed in love. So what does God do? He calms my fears by filling me with love. This is so key because this is something I can meditate on. I can go home and read 30 verses of how much Christ loves me. This is what some of you need to do. You need to go home instead of just do not fear, which will make you end up fearing more. What if you busted out 30 verses on how much Jesus loves you and you fed on that every morning? Okay, we eat 3 physical meals a day, right? And we'll eat 1 spiritual snack once a month. And we wonder why we're spiritually starved of faith and why we struggle with trust and why we're shaky in love, okay? The Bible is our bread. It is the word of God. We're supposed to feed on it. And so if we only eat a little snack once a month, of course you're spiritually starved. Why wouldn't you be? If you only ate 1 meal a month, you'd be malnourished. So many of us live malnourished from God's word. And so when our fears are overwhelming, we don't know what to do. I'm telling you what to do right now. Go home and feed on the word of God. Eat the word of God. Sunday is great, but it's not your daily bread. That's his word. Sunday we come so we can learn how to do this thing, but you still have to do this thing. Sunday is your time to go to the gym and talk to your trainer to learn how to lift correctly. But if you don't actually go lift the weights on Monday, nothing happens. You can go to the gym, wear your yoga pants, bring the water bottle, and if you don't lift anything, nothing happens. You can drink the energy drinks. You can talk to the friends. You can put the podcast on. You can put the headphones in and just walk from station to station. And if you don't lift the weight, nothing happens. You have to sit down at the machine, put the weight on and do the reps. And then you are strengthened. You have to open up this Bible and read these verses and meditate on these verses. Put this food in your soul and meditate how much God loves you. Paul said, we cannot even comprehend the height, the depth, the width, this length of Christ's love for us. I can never feed enough on how much God loves me. Like the Apostle John, I love, he opened his letters saying the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was not saying, hey, I'm God's favorite. God doesn't have favorites like that. He was saying, I identify myself as someone whom God loves. What an identifying factor. I'm thinking about how much God loves me. This is kind of a separate sermon, but I want to camp on this for a second. Peter would often tell everybody how much he loved Jesus, which is good. But John was telling everybody how much God loved him. Yes. When fear came and Jesus is crucified, everybody fled but John. at the cross. It was his mother, the other Mary, and who? John. Because he's not afraid, because he's identified his whole life as God loves me. He's the same apostle wrote, there's no fear in love. You want to diminish fear? Fill yourself with love. God's love for you. As God's love invades, it pushes fear out farther and farther from your soul. You're meditating on God's love. John 15, 9, as the Father has loved me, Jesus says, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. We could all get better at abiding in God's love more. Pastor, how do I keep my brain together in the 2020s? Abide in his love. Abide in his love. Pastor, how do I make it through the month? Abide in his love. How do I get through the week? Abide in his love. How do I pay my bills? Abide in his love. How do I deal with my baby daddy? Abide in his love, right? Like the in-laws, abide in his love. There's a truth here that we need as followers of Jesus. If we're going to get to heaven in one piece, it's not going to be on our own strength, our own power. It's going to be abiding in his love. Number six here, God moves through prayer. Okay, so God invites trust. I can spend the next 40 years of my life being totally ran with fear or just trusting God, right? I can focus on my fear or I can begin to meditate on God's love for me. And as love comes in, fear gets pushed out more and more. Number six, God moves through prayer. Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Okay? So instead of being overcome with worry and fear and anxiety, I can pray. I can meditate on the love of God for me, and I can abide in that. I can choose to trust God, and then I can begin to pray. My wife lately has been getting into sourdough starters. So she's doing sourdough starters now. I can't complain. It's delicious. We're carving it out. But when she bakes the bread, she sets a timer. And when the timer goes off, it's time to go get the bread. This is what I want worry to be in your life. When worry goes on, that is your timer to prayer. When stress goes off, when that alarm goes off, that is you telling yourself it's time to pray. When fear knocks, I want faith to answer the door. So when that alarm goes ding, it's like, God, I thank you. You're good. You're amazing. You love me. I'm full of faith. I trust you. Nothing can happen to me that doesn't first go through you. And so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to trust you in this moment. And God, here's my prayer. God moves through prayer. I think we're losing that a little bit. And we should get that back as Christians. So often we live like Christian atheists. We say we believe in God, but it doesn't change our week at all. Or like, yeah, Jesus is real. And then every month we live just like everybody else. There should absolutely be a difference in our lives, and especially when it comes to worry and fear. We should not have the same levels of fears and worries everybody else does. And it should be a direct result of the Holy Spirit living in my life and me obeying the word of God. And so when worry deems, I want prayer to respond. That's my time to begin to pray. In 10,000 years, not much that's going to happen to us in the next 40 years is really going to matter. Right? In 10,000 years, we'll forget about pretty much every problem we've ever faced. Think back to 2013. Do you remember what you were worried about that year? Most of us are like, I don't remember anything since 2020, actually. Like, what did happen? It's amazing to me that we have hundreds and thousands of worries every year, and give it 10 years, we can't remember any of it. In 1,000 years, probably everything we're facing right now won't even matter at all. Cool thought, right? Maybe in 100 years, I'm not going to be here in 100 years. In a quick 100 years, everything we're facing won't even matter. It won't even matter. And so if this same God has taken care of eternity and everything, I'm going to start resting about next year. And I'm going to start resting about next month. And I'm going to start resting about next week. Because he can be trust it, and it's not going to matter much anyway. And I'll close with this. Paul said, he goes, man, all these things I'm facing, Paul was facing prison, beatings, jail, like trouble, accusations. And he said, these are light afflictions compared to the glory that is coming. This is light. If prison and beatings is light compared to the glory that is coming, I mean, I'm a lightweight then. Because like nothing I'm facing is as bad as Paul or probably ever will be. There's nothing I will face in life that's probably as bad as a Roman prison and nothing. And he said, that is nothing compared to the glory that awaits us. In a quick 100 years, everything we're facing won't even matter anyway. So I don't want my fears to ever get greater than my God in here. Because they're not in reality, but they can get in here. This is why the Bible says, I'll close with this. It says, magnify the Lord. We sit around and we magnify our fears all day long. Don't do that. Magnify the Lord. God does not get any bigger, but he gets bigger to my soul. I begin to put him in his proper place. I put my fear in its proper place. And I begin to say, fear, if I just go from disaster to disaster for the next 40 years, it still doesn't matter. Because I spend 10,000 years in victory. Christians need to recapture this. We do not fight for victory. We fight from victory. The greatest victory has already happened. The best thing that could ever happen to you has already happened. You know Jesus. That's number one. You're good. You're in victory. Even if you mess up from now, for the next 40 years, you're still good. Comparatively, you're still good. So if that's as bad as it could get, and that's already taken care of, he's got the rest of the stuff figured out too. And so I'm going to rest. I'm going to pray. I'm going to thank him. I'm going to grow in faith, and I'm going to diminish my fears as I meditate on his love. Don't live from disaster to disaster in your mind. God, I'm going to go from glory to glory. You're going to get me there. You're going to get me there. Amen? All right, let me pray for you really quick. How many of you in here this morning, you came in with a fear? Just shoot your hand up real quick. Let me pray for you guys this morning. Heavenly Father, you saw those hands about a third of us here this morning. Lord, you love us with an everlasting love. I'm passionate about this one because I don't want to see people bound to fear, but I want them free. And Lord, you want them free. So God, I ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit right now. We take authority over those fears, those worries, those lies. Lord, would you pour out your Spirit right now? God, would you fill our hearts with faith? Would you fill them with love? And would you strengthen them? Lord, your word says that we should have courage because you are with us. Would you give us a greater revelation that you are with us and you are for us, Lord, to help us? And God, even if we go through things the next decade or so, it is still nothing compared to the glory that is coming. Lord, help us to put it in the right perspective and to worship you and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for checking out our podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, share with a few friends. Thanks for helping us make Jesus famous right here in South Florida. Again, if you're in the Fort Lauderdale area, we'd love to see you sometime. Or as always, visit us online, citylift.church. Have an amazing week.